So according to our estimates, more than 2 million deaths can be attributed to the eradication of sparrows. That's roughly 6% of the total death count during the Great Famine.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. What was the largest famine in human history, and what role did sparrows play in it? The extraordinary policies of China's Great Leap Forward created equally extraordinary impacts. And one of those was a rapid ecosystem collapse that may have been responsible for millions of human deaths. The story of China's Great Famine and how the eradication of sparrows contributed to it is the topic of a new working paper. Xiaodong Wang of the University of Chicago is one of the authors. And when I spoke to him, we first started talking about those policies that led to the Four Pests campaign. So Xiaodong, take us back to 1958 and the Great Leap Forward and the Four Pests campaign in China. What was it?
So basically, in 1958, Chairman Mao had this big idea that, you know, due to a series of political, social, economic challenges, he wanted to launch this massive campaign that systematically transformed the Chinese society within a decade. And as part of that grand plan, he initiated the Four Pests campaign, which was aimed to eradicate four types of pests that were considered detrimental to society, including rats, flies, mosquitoes, and sparrows.
I can imagine people don't much like mosquitoes or rats. What were sparrows doing that was so bad for society?
So rats, mosquitoes, and flies were included for health considerations. Sparrows were included for agricultural purposes. Basically, Chairman Mao received some letters from the farmers complaining that they observed sparrows eating their crops. So Chairman Mao thought, you know, if we kill all the sparrows, then we have higher crop yields. That would be great. So that was included as part of the Great Leap Forward to boost agricultural production.
Right. And did scientists agree with this? Is this what they were recommending, is the way that sparrows were treated?
No. So throughout history, there were actually several other historical episodes where different countries tried to kill sparrows to preserve agricultural yields, and they all ended disastrously. So at the time when Chairman Mao came up with the list of the four pests, there were several prominent scientists in China warning him against doing so. And their logic is very simple. It is true that sparrows eat crops, but sparrows also eat crop pests, especially locusts. So historically, without chemical pesticide, sparrows were relied on as a very important source of natural pest control. So by killing sparrows, you risk the potential that crop pests would go out of control and eventually actually reduce your agricultural yields.
So the word went out as part of the Four Pests campaign. What were Chinese people asked to do to the sparrows?
So if you think about it, logistically, this is actually very challenging. Right? How do you mobilize millions of people to kill billions of sparrows? Right? Basically, people took initiatives to try many different things. Right? You can use different techniques to shoot the sparrows. You can try to destroy their nests or their eggs. Or, you know, you can set up different traps to capture the sparrows. And one of the more crazy things that they did was that they actually used noise to kill the sparrows. Because when you create a lot of noise, sparrows feel very anxious. So they need to keep flying. They cannot relax. They cannot, you know, stop. And by keep making a lot of noise, sparrows just keep flying until they're exhausted to death and they fall on the ground. And actually, at that time, there was this very interesting historical episode, right? Because in Beijing, so many people were making noises, the sparrows felt really anxious, and they tried to find a shelter in the Polish embassy in Beijing. So many sparrows flew into the Polish embassy, and then the Beijing citizens encircled the Polish embassy, keep making noise, until all the sparrows within the embassy actually got exhausted to death.
It is one of many extraordinary things from this period of history in China, and one of the most remarkable is, of course, the Great Famine that was also happening at the same time. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But in broad terms, how many people died in the Great Famine?
So, I mean, different people come up with different estimates. But I think to a first order, probably somewhere between 30 to 40 million people got starved to death between 1959 and 1961, which puts this Great Famine in China as, you know, by far the largest famine in human history in terms of total death count.
The purpose of your paper is to examine the contribution of the Four Pest Campaign, particularly what happened to sparrows, to this Great Famine. Explain, what is your hypothesis here?
This is a hypothesis that has been discussed by environmental historians extensively over the past several decades. So they said that by eradicating all the sparrows, China lost its access to natural pest control. As a result, there were major pest outbreaks in the subsequent years, which further reduced agricultural yields and thereby exacerbating the Great Famine.
So we're making the link here from the numbers of sparrows, how many sparrows are killed, to the agricultural yields, to the famine here. I mean, straight away, you're running into all sorts of problems. This sounds very, very difficult. First of all, you have to count the numbers of sparrows in each place. I can't imagine people were counting sparrows at that time, were they? How do you do this?
So actually, they were counting sparrows, but that's not what we're using in this paper. So basically, because this was made such a big political campaign, local officials were evaluated or rewarded based on how many sparrows you can kill. So they kept reporting different numbers to the central government regarding, you know, how many sparrows got killed. That's how the central government came up with the number that 2 billion sparrows got killed during this period. But there are very good reasons to be suspicious about the quality of such data, right? Because it's very hard to verify, and so much incentive gets attached to that number. So it could be that local officials are exaggerating the number of sparrows that are being killed. So instead of using the reported number of sparrow killing, we actually rely on something else, which is the innate habitation suitability of sparrows for different regions. So basically, some counties in China, their climate conditions, their environmental conditions make it more suitable for sparrows to locate, to habitat in that place. And these are the counties that got shocked got impacted more by the eradication of sparrows. So that is the variation that we're using in the data.
Also, there were strong political incentives to misreport crop yields at the time. How confident can you be in your regional data on crop yields?
Exactly. So in the crop yield data reported by local governments to the central government, those numbers were heavily inflated, which actually was part of the reason why China had this famine. Because on the one hand, you had a food shortage. On the other hand, the central government was still exporting food to other countries because, you know, they thought the harvest was much better than it actually was. So instead of relying on the local government's numbers that they reported to the central government, we actually use a different source, which is yield data collected by the county gazetteers. So these gazetteers, they're not government official data. Instead, they are compiled by local elites in a bottom-up fashion. And this number was never linked to any political incentives. So that makes it more accurate or more trustworthy. And in fact, if we do a simple comparison between the yield data that you can collect from the county gazetteers to the data that was reported by the county government officials to the central government, actually, you see the over-reporting in the official data very clearly.
Clearly, you have a correlation here because we know the number of sparrows went down. We know the crop yields went down as well. But how do you get a causal link from sparrows to crops?
So we're comparing the counties that are really suitable for sparrow habitation to the counties that have low sparrow suitability index. And then we see that they have similar trajectories prior to the eradication of sparrows. But after you eradicate all the sparrows, that shock is impacting the high suitability counties more than the low suitability counties are. So the assumption here is that in the absence of sparrow eradication, those two types of counties should have followed similar trajectories. So any divergence in their future yields, future death count, can be attributed to the eradication of sparrows.
I see. And can you be confident that you have accounted for all the potential confounding factors here, things that might influence both the sparrow population and the crop yields, for example?
One argument is that the main variation that we're using in the data is the natural habitation suitability index. of sparrows, which is largely determined by local climate and environmental conditions. So ex ante, there's no obvious reason why this should be correlated with the incentives of local officials or the implementation of other Great Leap Forward policies. But to be more confident about that, we actually spent a lot of time collecting a variety of different measures of other policies during the Great Leap Forward. And then we correlated them against our measure of spiral suitability. We don't see a strong correlation. We try to control for the dynamic impacts of these other policies during that time. We also don't see they change our baseline results very much. So because of that, we feel relatively confident that the main results are capturing the effects of eradicating spirals rather than other factors.
So this first stage, what you have managed to do, if I am correct, is you have managed to get that estimate for the size of the impact for pests campaign, particularly on sparrows, the size of the impact of that on crop yields in China at the time. What was that impact?
So according to our estimates, the eradication of sparrows overall reduced China's crop yields by about 8 to 9% relative to the baseline, which was about 20% of the total decline during the Great Famine.
Now, of course, we're thinking about the Great Famine here. So can you make an estimate of how then that decline in crop yields contributed to the number of deaths in the Great Famine?
Yes. So basically, we do the same comparison with fertility rates and mortality rates. So we look at counties with high sparrow suitability index, compare them to counties with low sparrow suitability index before and after the famine. We see that the high suitability counties, they start to see higher mortality rates, lower fertility rates after you eradicate sparrows. So that's how we make the linkage.
And when you add this all up, how many excess deaths do you think that this caused?
So according to our estimates, more than 2 million deaths can be attributed to the eradication of sparrows. That's roughly 6% of the total death count during the Great Famine.
I mean, that is an extraordinary number, but it is history now, very important history, but history. No one is advocating anything like the Four Pests campaign today. Good that they aren't. Is there a relevance in this research to how we think about our environment and how we think about crop production today?
I would think so. And I think there are three layers to this. The first layer is that, as you correctly pointed out, no one is trying to do something like this today. But naturally, we are still losing species left and right every single day. And for many of these species, we actually don't have a very good understanding about their value or their importance. So this historical episode actually provides a lesson about the importance of the balance of the ecosystem. So that's one thing. And I think the second layer to this is that more broadly in climate, environment, energy, we are thinking about a lot of human interventions. We're thinking about solar geoengineering. We're thinking about all kinds of other interventions. And ex ante, we are confident that there's a clear benefit to many of these interventions. But so were Chairman Mao when he tried to eradicate all the sparrows. There was this obvious benefit. So I think this historical episode also tells us that we need to think more carefully about the potential costs that might not be easily anticipated ex ante when doing this kind of grand interventions. And I think the third layer of this is that, beyond environmental policy, if we think about more broadly political economy, this historical episode provides a cautionary tale against this really large campaign-style policies that ignore scientific advice. And actually, one interesting issue is that just a few years ago, during COVID, Chinese government insisted on this zero COVID policy, which was against this advice from leading scientists. And actually, at that time, in Chinese social media, people were drawing comparison between zero COVID and zero spiral. Right? They had a lot of similarities. You were trying to do something very extreme, ignoring all kinds of scientific advice, and both actually lead to pretty disastrous outcomes.
History doesn't repeat itself, but it can instruct what we do in the future. This is fascinating research, and it's chilling to think about the huge impact of this policy. Sharda, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The paper is called Campaigning for Extinction, Eradication of Sparrows and the Great Famine in China. The authors are Ail Frank, Qinyun Wang, Shaoda Wang, Shuibin Wang, and Yang Yu. It is working paper 34087 at MBER. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is subscribe. You find us wherever you get your podcasts. Our past episodes, as always, are at voxdev.org, where you will also find articles about the topics we feature. And if you like what you're hearing, please tell someone else about us. Leave us a review as well.